This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special. Welcome to another episode of Inside MSide. I'm your host, Alex Waters, your Alumni Engagement Director. I'm excited about this episode coming up because we're talking about something that I enjoy. I feel like it's a common language, and that's music. All things music. I have a special guest, Dr. Eric Mahon. You want to talk to me just a little bit about introducing yourself, who you are, what you do here at Morningside? Let's start there.
Sure. First off, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Dr. Eric Mahon, I'm the director of jazz studies. I'm in my fifth year here at Morningside. And prior to coming to Morningside, I spent 1 year as an assistant professor at University of South Dakota teaching trumpet and jazz. And before that, I was working on finishing my doctorate at the University of Kansas, did my master's at the University of South Dakota, so right here in Siouxland,
oh, yeah.
And an undergraduate degree in Minnesota. So been kind of hanging out in the Midwest.
Most
and,
definitely.
And happy to be here in Siouxland for 5 years now.
Yeah, and we were able to capture you, right? Like get you back to the Midwest or keep you here for sure. Talk to me a little bit about one of the things I love having a conversation about with alumni, especially as asking them about their journey to come to Morningside. What was appealing to you when you were looking for opportunities and what was going to be next in your career? What appealed to you at Morningside? And maybe talk a little bit about transition that into what you're excited about, what you have going on right now with VPA and what's going on in that kind of world here at Morningside.
Sure. Yeah. My undergraduate degree was from a school in Minnesota called Gustavus Adolphus, which is another kind of small liberal arts institution.
Yeah.
It's a bit bigger than Morningside, but still very similar and are arts-centric, music-centric,
mm-hmm.
Very experiential. And so I had a great experience as an undergrad, and I still am in contact with a handful of professors that made an impact. So I was I thought that would be a great place to start my career, work with undergrads in a small environment where you get to know the students, they get to know you, and you forge relationships. And now that I've been here for 5 years, and there have been students that have come and gone, and that's always evolving, but it's been nice to do that.
Yeah.
In terms of just the VPA, School of Visual Performing Arts, it's right now, it's right leading up to Christmas at Morningside. That's our big push.
Exactly. Huge. And yeah, if you know anything about Morningside, for sure, Christmas at Morningside is on your calendars.
So it's been growing ever since Dr. Pearson, Ryan Pearson, took over the same year that I got here. And it's just been growing. We've added the Thursday evening concert. As of right now, Friday's sold out. And
yeah.
Thursday is just about there. If you were at the event last year, you saw that big screen. We had all those visual displays. I believe they're actually in the process of kind of getting the stage set up right now. So it'll be a great send off into the holiday season and featuring all the talented students and many faculty members as well.
For sure. And so when you were thinking about coming to Morningside and getting here, what were those early years like and how has it evolved? What's exciting you right now about what's going on?
I think when you get to any place, there's just a kind of a figuring it out period, kind of how things work and where I fit in and what's, and especially in music, a big part of what I do is not even at Morningside, out at high schools, adjudicating, being a clinician, going and doing workshops, helping with rehearsals and sectionals, so on, just building and forging relationships with the musical community here in Northwest Iowa. The good news is they're a great bunch, and there's a bunch of Morningside alums in there as well that are super supportive. So year five, and I feel very well connected, very well supported from the community, both Morningside and then just the greater Siouxland music community. And all
yeah.
of that stuff, all those relationships and the events that we promote and hold here help to continue to have Morningside on the map in terms of music and music education.
Oh, for sure. And especially when it comes to jazz. I mean, I know that's something that's a huge passion of yours, and we've talked about it. We're going to dive into it here in a little bit. But I mean, just this entire region, when it comes to jazz, like ensembles and music and just like events, Morningside is really at the center of a lot of that. And growing up in Northwest Iowa myself, I mean, I'm from Okoboji High School. You want to talk about a jazz powerhouse and the jazz music kind of culture that permeates throughout this entire area. Talk about how Morningside's been able to be at the forefront of that and some of the exciting things in terms of like jazz and even alumni that we got going on here.
So my first year here, we were working on the 47th Morningside Jazz Festival, and I sort of knew, all right, we're at 47. We got to be looking a couple years in the future here.
Yeah.
And the good news is that a lot of that work has just been going on for years and decades here at Morningside. And I remember there was a piece that the Journal did on that festival that year, and I said something in the interview like, jazz, high school jazz in Iowa is akin to high school football in Texas. It's just it's that competitive. It's that supported. It all culminates with this jazz championships in Ames in April. And there's just thousands of people, and Stevens is standing room only. And so I just kind of lucked out coming to a place where a lot of this groundwork has been done, and it's kind of an expectation for many of these programs to just, you know, they have Morningside on their calendar year after year after year. And it allows me the opportunity to go work with bands and recruit students for jazz specifically. And, you know, it's a helpful thing that makes me, I can do my job better, and the students around here are great.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a perfect analogy you're talking about. It's like high school football in Texas or something like that. Because what's funny is growing up in Okoboji and knowing, I mean, we always had a powerhouse jazz band. I mean, Greg Forney, shout out to him. And, you know, I went to school with his son, who also played, was a trumpeter then. But I was not in band at all. Never really was as interested in that. But I came to Morningside, mm-hmm. even in high school, and was able to watch and be a part of that festival, and then would make the travel down, you know, to the statewide championship and watch our school perform and things like that. It just was this culture, and you knew about Morningside if you knew anything about jazz or music or anything happening throughout our region. And I think that is so cool and something that, I mean, I know we have these national championship, you know, the football team and athletics and things like that, but equally such a powerhouse is over here on the south side of campus.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really impressive, and it's so cool to know how passionate you are about continuing that type of work.
Well, it kind of comes naturally. I'm a trumpet player, and it's just been a part of my life probably since seventh grade when I first started playing in a jazz band, having no idea I'd end up teaching it in higher education. I feel like I have, you know, great students that enjoy what we're doing. It feels contemporary. It feels relevant. We're trying to make connections with audiences of different ages and in different types of venues. And it's, you know, we have to think like, how do we approach music, and how can we reach audiences and connect with audiences in 2022 when our attention is being pulled in 1,000 different directions at every moment.
Yeah. And you mentioned that not only are you trying to reach different audiences and thinking different venues, most recently you were up in my neck of the woods, right? You were up in Northwest Iowa playing at a winery, I think.
Little Swan Lake Winery.
There you go. Tell me about that event.
It turns out it was, I was very unsure of what to expect because I hadn't gone up there. I play in this jazzed up big band on Tuesdays up at the Roof Garden. And so the guy who runs that, I know he's brought some smaller groups to that winery. And I was looking for a Wednesday night hit because we were going to hit Okoboji High School on the Thursday. And so I was like, all right, let's check out this winery. And everyone kept saying, well, be careful. It's real small. You'll never fit in there. And it turned out to be absolutely great. The guy that runs it and his whole family are Morningside alums, music alums.
Yes.
And so he was filling us in on the history and during his time here in the early 70s that jazz went from the sort of underground late night secret activity into being an official ensemble. And that would have been kind of the start of that festival back then as well. And again, we had no idea what to expect, and we get there to set up, and it was fairly small, but there was all kinds of tables, and just about every single table had a reserved card on it that the word had spread, and these people were so excited to come out and support live music at this random winery on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, that had to be a lot of fun. And who was that band comprised of? Who all was playing with you that night?
So that was the college band, M Avenue Jazz.
I was going to say, I thought it was M Avenue, and yep. I just wanted to make sure.
Yep. And so, yeah, we got a full big band, 17 students, and it's kind of a constant in and out. I'm going to lose 4 in the spring to 3 student teaching and 1 graduating early.
Wow.
But we've got those seats filled already, and it's they're excited, and it makes me excited most of the time.
Yeah, and just to be able to perform with students about something that you love, and like I said, that common language of music and just that similar passion, to be able to bring it to these different venues and introduce people, you know, if they're not familiar, to be able to just introduce them to Morningside through music and through that opportunity, I think is so cool. One of the other ways that you and I have really been connecting is thinking about how we can get alumni involved, and how maybe some of those alumni that, you know, are still in the area or still interested or maybe still play. Gosh, we have people that play in the symphony. You know, I talk to people here in Sioux City. I'm a symphony goer, and so I really enjoy looking up on stage and seeing some of my former classmates and individuals up there that I get to work with and really interact with regularly up on a stage like that. Talk to me about what you're doing, not only in the community, but also your hope for maybe getting more of those alumni involved.
Sure. It's interesting that you bring up the symphony, because we're doing the Mahler Symphony 2 this weekend, and I'm playing sixth trumpet. And you mentioned the principal trumpet player, Bob Gibson, is a Morningside grad, and he's an incredible trumpet player and is active all around. And so that's going to be a heck of a show on Sunday. The symphonic chorus is in with that too.
Yeah.
You know, because this state of Iowa has supported jazz in such a meaningful way for so long, there's just a lot of really solid performers and educators here and throughout the state, but absolutely in Northwest Iowa, and people that went to Morningside and have continued to hone their craft as a jazz musician as well as an educator, that have seen great success directing schools and taking schools to the Iowa Jazz Championships and to any number of festivals, Morningside included. So now that I've had some longevity here and made a lot of these meaningful connections, and I think people generally know who I am and kind of what's going on here, not only here in Siouxland, but it's my goal, like, I want to be relevant in like the Midwest.
Yeah.
I mean, we've check mark. We got that done in Siouxland. We're regionally relevant. We are the jazz hub. It is what it is. We host the biggest events. The festival is the largest. I mean, it's the best festival around. I'm biased, but I also clinic and adjudicate at a lot of festivals, and we have the best festival.
Yeah.
And so kind of spearheading an effort that we've been talking about connecting with some of these alumni that were here before I got here, or that I haven't had a chance to connect with, whether they be in Siouxland or abroad. Another symphony connection, this guy Keith Benjamin, he's the trumpet professor at University of Missouri Kansas City, a well-known name in the trumpet community, and he's coming up Morningside grad and playing one of the offstage parts with the symphony. And his brother's the owner of the winery.
I did not realize this. It's so crazy, the different connections. It's the 6 degrees of separation.
It's
all
insane.
Goes through Morningside University, right?
It blows my mind, you know, and it shouldn't, you know, all these musical connections. But Morningside's, you know, like, the alumni base isn't that big compared to many other schools. And it's just like everywhere you look, music people. People that are relevant. So,
and you maybe get inspired or see the talent of those individuals, and then you talk to them and it's like, oh, where'd you do your undergrad? Morningside, right? And it all kind of stems back to that. It's just kind of a cool community, if you will, of a network of individuals.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me a little bit about what you were thinking. We're doing, looking at recruiting and talking to individuals, gathering musicians that have those talents for a possible band, right? We're looking at maybe getting the band back together, so to speak.
Yeah. It seems like there's enough interest. Yeah. And even for those people that maybe participated but haven't touched their alto sax in a handful of years. It sounds like there's interest in just getting together with some of these people that they made music with however long ago. And so there was it's probably up on our Facebook still, and we'll continue to push this, but this questionnaire, kind of a survey about what are you looking for in an event? But it looks like we'll do something either later in the spring, this coming spring, or sometime in the fall, and a jazz alumni event. And there'll likely be a jazz alumni band component of that, and a chance to for the current students to hear how some of these alumni, however long ago they graduated. I mean, the alumni band may very well be pretty happening.
Yeah.
I think
I was
so.
Going to say, I almost want to get to the level where like battle of the bands, right? Like you have the alumni band, the student band, like, gosh, that would be fun.
I was, oddly enough, I think a lot of the jazz in colleges and universities around the Midwest happened during the same time. So about a week and a half ago, I was down in Kansas in Lawrence for the 50th year of their jazz program. And there was an alumni band and I was playing and it probably was better than their top university band now.
Really?
Which is just nuts. And I think that it would be very similar here.
Yeah. Well, it's impressive work that you're doing and it's so exciting and inspiring, not only to hear what our students are going on to do, but also just the way that we're cultivating musicians in the region. We're bringing them to Morningside with the introduction of the festival and really welcoming them here, showing them what the campus and the environment is, what the culture is, so to speak, of jazz and just music at Morningside, and then watching them go on to do big things. I mean, whether it's the symphony or just playing in their community or perhaps working at institutions or high schools or what have you throughout the entire area or throughout really the country. It's truly impressive. And we're lucky to have you on board.
It's great to be here. Yeah, it's a great place to be right now.
Most definitely. Well, if you're listening to the podcast, you're interested at all in getting involved, obviously put Christmas at Morningside on your calendar. What's the date again?
December 1 and 2. I believe the Friday the 2nd is sold out, but there's still tickets available. Free tickets, but you need tickets. All kinds of information on the website for that Thursday performance.
For sure. Yeah, so make sure to watch for that. Hopefully mark your calendars. And honestly, looking forward to watch for those opportunities to maybe come back, share your talents with campus. We always talk about our alumni engagement, right? That's one of the things I'm really passionate about, whether it's your time, talent, or your treasure. Here's an opportunity to really share some of your time and surely your talent with the current students or give back in a band. Who knows? Maybe you'll end up at a winery owned by a Morningside alum and you're able to play and share that music with one another and some of your classmates or at least people from Morningside. But anyway, I really appreciate you making time. Dr. Mahan, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you tuning in for another episode of Inside M-Side. We're glad to have you. Looking forward to the next episode already, so make sure to subscribe and watch for that next one to drop.